Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen, Mummy, and I'm coming to you live right now on Come Now, Don't Sulk. I'm having a post-Halloween hangover there. I didn't even know what show I'm doing. But it's Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're appearing to you right now on Blog Talk Radio as part of the Here Be Monsters studio family, and we are very, very, very excited, as always, to be part of the Here Be Monsters studio. And we couldn't do this show every Monday night as we do, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central or your time zone, live, literally live broadcasting all around the world, if it weren't for our own producer and den mother, and she's our inspiration and our muse. Gwendolyn Holden Berry is on the air with me right now, too. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm really good. Thank you, Mommy. I'm fine and dandy.
And I know that Halloween is a special occasion for you. Are you suitably hungover as well?
I'm not fully hung because I didn't imbibe that much last night. But there was some goings-ons here. And what was really nice is that for a long time we haven't had trick-or-treaters. I don't know if it's because don't go to the witch house or something, but we haven't had them. And last night we got a bunch of little itty-bitties that came. They were all so cute. It was really nice. They're just so cute when they're that little and they're all dressed up. And their mothers were sweet. And that was really nice. I have missed that. So that was wonderful.
Well, last night, first of all, we had just moved out of Manhattan as of Halloween last year. So we had only been in the suburbs of Philadelphia in this beautiful community on a mountainside here outside of Philadelphia. We had only been here for about 60 days. We moved here on like August 30th. And so we had all the month of September and all the month of October. But with COVID in full swing, I mean, just fully like consuming everything. There was no Halloween last year. There was no Halloween. No one was trick-or-treating. No one was doing anything. And in the community that I live in, which is a development, they had sent out notices to all the residents of the community that they weren't saying, please don't trick-or-treat and don't pass out candy, but they were suggesting to people in a very strong way that perhaps it wasn't a good idea to have children coming to your door and people touching things and handing them around. I mean, people were really still washing their groceries, let alone wearing masks and safe distancing. People were still, you know, washing all of the things they brought home from the grocery store, wiping them down with Clorox, you know, wipes, etc. So there was no Halloween last year. Last night, I happened to be helping George with his QVC show, so we couldn't be answering the door. So I put a bowl, a giant bowl of the little M&M packs out there with the pumpkin, and we set it up, and it was all on our front porch. And literally 5 minutes after I set it there and closed the front door, somebody rang the doorbell. Well, we couldn't break from the show because the show is live on QVC, so we couldn't figure out what was going on. But after the show, as soon as we were done, we went to our front door. First of all, we live in a courtyard, a circle. Our neighbors of the 12 houses here on this particular court in the development, seven had people in their driveways sitting up with cute displays and candy that they were handing out, so the kids didn't have to come up to the front doors necessarily. So people were handing out, seven of the 12 were definitely handing out candy, and the street was thoroughly full of children. Children were coming door to door to door in groups with parents, with them, and they were walking down the other streets around us, behind us, everything. The whole community was going. That was the good news. And there were lovely children everywhere, et cetera, and wonderful costumes. And the people in their front yards were adorable. It was a chilly but lovely night. It was a little chillier than you'd want it to be, but it wasn't brutal. Well, the bad news was that the 13 to 17-year-old set was out trick-or-treating and kind of thuggy. And yeah. We think that what happened was one of them came early, made the rounds, because our neighbors told us that there were older kids that came out right away. And they think that one of those kids came up to our front porch, dumped the entire bowl of candy into their trick-or-treat bag, and left. And so that's why we had no candy in our bowl, and we had nothing. And the neighbors on either side of us still had bowls full of candy. So obviously someone had just, you know, ransacked our stash, and we had nothing left in the house because I put out like two big bags of M&Ms. So it was the M&Ms, you know, child packs. So it was a little discouraging, but it was so fun to see the outfits. It was so fun to visit with my neighbors out, you know, at 8 o'clock at night. It was adorable, and it was a lovely night. And Halloween is one of my favorites. I always have a hangover after Halloween is over, not from drinking, but because of the postpartum blues. You know, I mean, when I was little, oh my God, when I came home from trick-or-treating and took off my costume and got ready for bed and climbed into bed, and the thought of my pumpkin, you know, and all our decorations being packed up, my pumpkins being, you know, thrown away, that the magic of Halloween was over. Oh my God. It was always like a sad occasion for me. And it, even in my old age, I still, you know, the next day it's kind of like, well, Halloween's gone. That's how I am.
Well, All Hallows to me. We've especially the let's call it the metaphysical community has adopted the traditional American, and it's bled into Europe too, Halloween as the celebration day for what a lot of people mispronounce as Samhain. It's actually pronounced Samhain. It is an ancient Danann and Celtic celebration of, do you know what it means? The word itself means summer's end. And they knew it was Samhain because the apples fell from the tree, and that meant, that's the last harvest. And it's a time when we call the veils get thin, and as you noticed last night, the planets are very bright, and it's the outer planets that begin to influence us now. It's Scorpio season. It's dying season. And with death comes remembrance. And we invite our ancestors to come and visit. We set what we call the Dumb Supper. And one plate for the ancestors and the rest for us. And we eat the meal in silence. And then afterward, we have coffee and brandy or whatever and discuss what we listened to while we ate from our ancestors. Now, that's the old, you know, tradition for Samhain.
Right.
But Samhain is actually more astrologically defined as November 6th and 7th. But Samhain is last night through midnight tonight. So we are technically still in Halloween. And, of course, between is the, you know, Christian deus that came in with All Souls, All Hallows. And it's all about respecting the ancestors and them coming before us and what the wisdom was that they left us.
Wow. Listen, I just want to interject here. Listeners at home, again, you're listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. And we're with my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holden Berry. This show is brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word. The fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you at home. Thank you. Do check out DaughtersOfIsis.com website while you're listening to our show. You can find it on your laptop. And our phone number here in the studios is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I believe we have our wonderful regular caller in, one of our panel, our What's My Line panel. Wayne Johnson is on the air. Wayne, are you on? Are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Very good.
Are you there?
Pleasure
there
to meet
is.
You all, and happy Halloween. So glad we're this is always a pleasure. So happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. One thing I wanted to just mention before we get into a topic tonight, Gwendolyn, do you have a fragrance that we should know about from the DaughtersOfIsis.com chemistry lab? By the way, boys and girls at home, you have often said these fragrances and these essential oils and these candles and soaps and all these incredible products that are on DaughtersOfIsis.com, are they made in a laboratory? The answer is YES. If you ever want to see what the DaughtersOfIsis.com laboratory looks like, go immediately to the original film, Frankenstein, and you will see all of the equipment as it is used, not only to bring life to the dead, but also to invent beautiful fragrances. Lightning, electricity, strange gears running around, bottles of things boiling and spilling into other bottles, a hunchback lumbering around and Googling. That is one of the assistants we have kept him on because we pay for his medical. Yeah, his insurance is covered by the company. So in case you ever need to know what DaughtersOfIsis.com actually looks like in the lab, that movie, also Bride of Frankenstein, that all of that was used during a downtime for Daughters of Isis. We rented out the laboratory to subsidize. So, and Gwendolyn works in there in a white lab coat with the funny mirror on the forehead thing, that thing that mad doctors, Gwendolyn uses that mirror thing. She has all the devices and strange equipment. Oh, Johnny Depp in Sleepy Hollow. Johnny Depp has all that equipment in the bag. All of those strange tools that he brings out to examine people, those are actually Gwendolyn's perfume-making tools and devices. So look at that and know that your products are being made by a professional. Please don't try this at home. You are not equipped. Don't go to the garden, buy flowers and fresh produce, and then grind it up in your grandma's pestle and mortar and pestle, and then think you're going to make a bottle of perfume. You're not. You're not trained properly. So, Gwendolyn, what's the fragrance we should be looking for
well,
November
first
now?
First of all, I should say it's more like young Frankenstein and not Frankenstein, especially last night with why don't you put on a tie? that's a personal joke going around. I actually came up with a blend this week to celebrate Samhain, and it's called the Scent of Death. And I describe it with a poem, but I won't give you the full poem, but I will give you what it describes. And the scent of death has come to me, twisted round me in its tendril vapors, fullest with decadence to fecundity with a smoky oak moss, myrtle, lovage, and graveyard dirt, which is patchouli, cedar moss soaked in honey beneath a single deep violet. The scent of death saturates me. It's really quite a nice blend.
It sounds lovely, although the name might be a little off-putting to the Midwestern crowd.
Well, I'm actually thinking of changing it to what is it that I figured I would change it to? Because usually when you want something like that to make an impression, you will go French. And I believe And what I did was I figured it to be Fumée de la Mort.
Oh, that's, now see, that's a little bit, yeah, that's a little bit better. That's a little bit better. We can go to Google Translate and put in some funny words and everything. Or maybe you just want to name it after a girl like Morticia, you know, or something like that. I love
the girl.
I love them.
The girl, the dark shadow that that I enjoyed conversation with last night was basically very expressive of this kind of scent. Very musky, very smoky. It's a smoky scent. It's nice, though. It's attracting.
I noticed that you love using patchouli in a lot of fragrances.
I do. I can make patchouli smell like a day at the beach, depending
wow.
on how I blend it. Yeah, patchouli is close to me. There's two scents that signature me. Personally, and patchouli isn't really one. It signatures my blending, but the scents that signature me are, first of all, mugwort, Madame Mugwort, Artemisia, and the other would be jasmine.
I love jasmine. Patchouli is very reminiscent to me of the 60s and 70s. It's a fragrance that as soon as I smell it, I'm back in 1969 again.
People always say that. And, you know, you can do so much. You'd be surprised what you put on for me that actually has patchouli in it. You can do so much with it. It can be a base note, or it can be a top note, or even a middle note. So it plays up and down the ladder. I created a blend this last summer called Our Mother in Summer, and it's based in patchouli, but people smell it and go, my God, it smells like, you know, it smells like an open field. It smells like all these other things, and it's like, yeah.
So it's a fragrance that can be not disguised, but it can be dialed into something other than patchouliness. So to speak.
And you know that patchouli.
Because patchouli by itself is absolutely Woodstock. It is 1969. It is the Manson family. It is like that.
Do you know what it actually smells like if you stand and spell patchouli as it used to be? Now we have to age it for a long time, and I have to beef it up with oak moss to get that kind of patchouli scent from that time zone. But because of climate change and whatnot. But do you know what it really smells like? If you sit down with just patchouli, a decent patchouli, it's rich, loamy soil. It's earth.
Mm-hmm. Earth. Mm. Smells the earthy soils of fresh turned earth.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's why its folk name is graveyard dirt.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to just quickly interject again. Folks at home, 323-784-9639. We're having a wonderful post-Halloween show tonight, and we're discussing patchouli, among other things. That's 323-784-9639. Feel free to call in. One topic I wanted to discuss with both of you was, if you want to, first of all, Wayne, did you go out trick-or-treating last night? You did, didn't you?
I was with my grandchildren, right. I had a Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear, Woody, and Jessie.
And how old are they?
The twin boys are 4, and their baby sister is 2.
Oh, that's
sad.
Are they identical twins or
they're
fraternal?
They're fraternal twins, right, yeah. They're from two separate eggs.
And
yeah, they're two separate little boys.
So what did you do? Did you walk around the neighborhood? Did you go... Like for how long? Like 20 minutes, an hour? What
was
involved?
I'd say about 20 minutes. My wife had to go to the Eastern Shore, and the little town Denton, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore there is where she's from, and got up with one of my nieces and her daughter, And we just went through the little town there in on the streets, and there was a plethora of children and beautiful,
yes,
beautiful Halloween costumes and stuff. Not like the tacky crap I had in the 60s, you know, that you got from Woolworth.
Wait, my favorite were the drugstore the drugstore costumes that came in the cardboard boxes with the cellophane window.
Box, right?
And then the mask was in the window. So when you looked at the mask, first of all, you had no trouble knowing what it was. And I'm trying to remember what the names of the companies were that made them. I can look it up because they're being sold as collector's items, you know, unopened on eBay. But the window had the mask in it, and the mask was either Casper the Friendly Ghost or, you know, Cinderella or Snow White or Felix the Cat or whatever. And then folded up neatly behind it, as you two remember, because we're all of the same sort of generation, were a set of strange, highly flammable
pajamas
in the junkiest plastic satin non-fabric fabric with a drawstring at the neck, and they were separates. Remember, they were separates. So there was a pajama top and then a pajama bottom, and they were in day glow color things. And then what I especially liked was in the first of all, Snow White had the face. The mask was Snow White, but then the costume was not Snow White. It was these pajama things, this strange set with glitter and graphics from the movie Snow White glued on.
That's right.
So it wasn't even an attempt. So Casper was not a white set of pajamas. It could be like chrome yellow or fluorescent green, and then with glitter and graphics glued all over the front of Casper emerging from a haunted house or something. It was the weirdest aesthetic that people would do. And of course, children, you know, were like just thrilled to have a Casper mask or Felix the Cat or Cinderella or whatever, but it was wild. I mean, those were just, and they eventually made them non-flammable, but for a few years there in the 50s, they were like explosively flammable. A child got near his pumpkin and immediately it was a ball of fire, you know.
Well, and the thing is, and those that they made, I'm doing air quotes here, non-flammable, they were made out of asbestos. Monsanto was cashing in on it.
And remember this, inflammable, the fact that no Americans couldn't figure out whether inflammable that meant not flammable or highly flammable. It's like, so, well, does inflammable mean inflame? N-flame, E-N-F-L, or does it mean non, as in innocent or something?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, oh, for heaven's sake. So people were saying, oh, no, Stacy can wear that near the pumpkin. It's not. It's inflammable. Look, the box says so. And, of course, Stacy burst into flame and rolled around on the ground, and was consumed in seconds with flames and gone. I just find the whole thing. But all of that insanity sort of made Halloween even more – dangerously merry, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Halloween was just so strange and wonderful. The sound makers, the noisemakers from Germany, Kirchhoff or whatever the company was that was doing it long before, Hitler took over. But the graphics on the metal little sound makers and the bells
and the clanging things. Yes.
I have a whole collection of those from that time, a really wonderful collection of Halloween memorabilia that's all very old. Most of my stuff, I think the oldest thing I have is maybe 100 years old, and they're just, I'm older than that. What am I saying? I have stuff from the 1890s. It's wonderful. I love the aesthetic of Halloween. I love all of it. I think it's just wonderful. It was fabulous. Oh, yeah. Did you, you came home, Wayne, and then gave out candy too?
No. By that time, it was really late because it's like an hour and a half ride back and forth. So, here in the condo, there really wasn't, there's a keypad vestibule, so nobody's coming into the condo. So,
My
Halloween was walking around with my grandchildren.
And it's what would be better than that? I mean, that's fabulous.
Like I said, that was the best Halloween ever.
Well, if I had been able to, If I'd been able to, I would have loved to have gotten in costume, sat on the front porch like all my neighbors were doing, and, you know, handing out candy. And I had this idea of being slumped in a chair on the front porch with the porch lights off and just the pumpkin going. And I would be like dressed as a scarecrow, you know, or something like something that, because people around here have scarecrows and skeletons, all sorts of stuff decorating their porches, and they're all around the neighborhoods around here and in the suburbs around here. People decorate their front yards with Halloween. And I thought it'd be so fun to be slumped with like pumpkins and maybe another scarecrow next to me and, you know, a stuffed one. And then as the children came up, I would simply come to life and scare the poop right out of them. And I think that would be vastly amusing. I mean, why should children have all the fun? Why can't an elderly adult have a lot of fun too on Halloween?
That's right.
So,
I agree with you. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you both something, and I wonder if you, Gwendolyn and I were talking about this before you came in, Wayne. I had tremendous postpartum blues after a holiday, tremendous ones. Thanksgiving, not so much because you've got a refrigerator of leftovers that are like major, but certainly Christmas and certainly Halloween. Halloween, I would just be like in mourning on November 1st. So do you ever, did you ever have those as a child, and do you have those as an adult? Do you have like a December 26th letdown or, you know?
I was going to say, well, my mother was born on the 26th of December, and so it was all just kind of carried over. And usually we were, Dad's family is from Fairmont, West Virginia.
Right.
Just south of Morgantown. And so Christmas would be at home, you know, in Baltimore, Glen Burnie, suburbs of Baltimore. And then, but then there was a car ride up to my grandparents where then meeting up with my aunts and uncles and my cousins and stuff. So it continued on for, you know, for towards the, almost towards the end of the year. So Christmas, there wasn't any downtime or downturn.
That's wonderful. Wayne, that's wonderful. You know, provided you love your family. I mean, if you don't like your family, it's dreadful.
I still speak with them, those of us that are left. And but not too much Halloween. I mean, Halloween was my favorite time. It's, you know, they say Christmas is the spirit of giving. No, the real spirit of giving is Halloween. Because when you're handing out candies and stuff like that, right, you're not expecting anything in return. You're not looking for a reciprocation of what you've given. And that's, to me, is the true spirit of giving. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with me, when I was little and was out trick-or-treating, the only way I could drown my sorrows on November 1st, or actually Halloween night when I'd get home and climb into bed after, you know, was, and I knew that my pumpkins were going to be thrown away and that all the decorations that my family had were going to be packed away for a year. The only thing I could do was simply to gorge on candy and, you know, to have a major, major diabetic shock situation for like 48 hours. I mean, just like, so, but I still have, like, you know, those things like Christmas morning. Our family celebrated Christmas Eve, and most of our presents we opened on Christmas Eve because nighttime was more mysterious. It was more like the Star of Bethlehem and the three wise men. There was something just about Christmas Eve that was just so much more Christmas, and waking up and having the sun shining and everything. I don't know. We just weren't into that so much. Although my mother would always pull out one extra present. She would make this big deal about, well, your presents are all opened. And then the next morning when we would get up and we'd come downstairs, the presents would all be around the tree and all of that. And then my mother would say, oh, look what's here. And then she would make a big thing about finding, quote unquote, another present for each of us under the tree in the back, which was charming. This was one of the few non-psychotic moments in my mother's annual life. Most of the time she was a psychotic and possibly a serial killer, but on Christmas morning, Christmas, she was mostly wonderful and sane. And then, you know, then within, by January, certainly by the time of, you know, January 6th, when the three wise men arrived, my mother had returned to her psychotic ways. I mean, she was a lunatic, but it was charming. And to this day, though, Christmas morning, I always wish I could just pack up and go to Hawaii, you know, because winter with no holidays, with nothing to look forward to is just, it's very trying for me. Yeah. I mean, I leave my Christmas lights outdoors, you know, until February 1st. I mean, I just, it's like.
That's my wife and our Christmas tree. We lived on before I moved to Annapolis, we had a 56-acre farm. The lane was a third of a mile long, 4,000-square-foot home. Second story was the family room. It was like in South Carolina. The lower floor was for private entertaining, accepting guests, things like that. But the second floor was for family. And in the center was a large family room, and we'd have a large Christmas tree. And she would have the lights burning in February because she liked it.
Yeah, I mean, our Christmas tree stays up, and it's decorated with all sorts of antiques and strange, wonderful, old things that aren't even ornaments. They're just objects that are wonderful. Like my grandfather's wire-rim glasses are on my Christmas tree.
Oh, beautiful.
It's
no,
gold.
That's great.
Yeah, and then another pair of his glasses that were horn-rimmed but with wire, gold wire side template. Temple pieces, or that's in the tree is full of family stuff and strange, wonderful, neat things. So then I leave it up until like, you know, January 30th, February 1st, and that tree, the lights outside too. That's all I wanted to ask you two about that. And Gwendolyn, do you, when you were little and trick-or-treating, did you do like elaborate costumes or anything? Were you obsessed with Halloween even as a child?
I just worked on what I could do to work out my pirate costume better every year, and I didn't. I didn't settle until I got a real blade.
You're the professional pirate, right?
Oh my God! I just love that way. Pirate Gwenny, instead of Pirate Jenny, it's Pirate Gwenny. It's like, oh my God! And I love that you carefully put away your pirate costume and then renewed the work and the editing and the elaborate from year to year.
The thing was, when I was really little, my sister was just two, and I was like, you know, four or whatever. Actually, I was six. And my mom in the summers, we would spend our days at the Cabana Club in Boca, which was right on the inlet. And as a child, I could see the pirate ships that used to come into that inlet because it naturally closed during the winter. And that's where they used to hide out. And so I would have these visions of the pirates, and I would see them getting off their ships and rowing over. So pirates have always been kind of, I mean, Boca Raton, it's Mouth of the Rat. You know, it was an old pirate stronghold. And I just always had a fascination when they came out with Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp. When I saw that, actually, I didn't go to the theater. I said, another pirate movie, you know, when they come up with one I really like, you know. But then I saw it on HBO. And it happened to be one of those nights that I actually, and I don't do this, I mean, it takes a lot for me to sit down and you know, more than one. I actually went and got a bottle of Jack and sat down to watch that movie. I adored him. And,
I got to tell you, if Johnny Depp's performance isn't one of the great iconic invention performances, to turn a pirate into a quasi possibly gay. I mean, he's sort of is involved with a girl, but he's the most like effeminate, like sissy, wonderful, fuss budgety. He's just adorable, adorable. And the makeup and the fact that he's dead and all of it is just so wonderful. It is such an amazing performance. Just amazing.
He's the pirate I would want to be. You know?
Oh,
absolutely.
With just one little kickback, though, I'd be a little bit tougher.
He's so wonderfully pretty.
I would be tougher.
he's just, it's lovely, lovely performance.
Yes, it is.
I had a friend.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you.
Okay.
I know.
Was it Wallace Berry who was the pirate in Treasure Island?
John Silver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that seems to me, you know, now my childhood, and I'm sure ours, that was my first impression of what a pirate was. Then when Johnny
uh-huh.
Depp came over, it's like, oh, hell yes. Yes, you nailed it. That's
well, Long John Silver was gentled in his, you know, with Wallace Berry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was gentle. But, you know, if you know anything about, because loving pirates, of course, I've dove into the actual history. And there were a few pirates that were this. You know, they were really pretty cool with great big hearts, if you will. But the
yes.
majority of the marauding bastards would cut your throat and nothing flat, and all they wanted was what they could get. These were people who were repressed and enslaved and had mm-hmm. escaped, and they were just the worst criminals that they are.
They had nothing to lose. Right.
They had nothing
yeah.
to lose, and they're a lot like the pirates today. You know, we still got the Caribbean is filled with pirates, and if I had a deck beneath my feet right now, I would also have an armament on board just to go out fishing. You can bet.
Yeah.
Oh
when
my
I
goodness!
Go
yes,
out,
and they.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
out.
Was the Tom Hanks movie that was just done recently where he was attacked by African Senegalese pirates? Or
oh, that's over on the other side of the drink. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's
African.
Somalian.
Yeah,
Somalian
Africa has shocking pirates now, and they are completely deranged. I mean, they're just amazing.
Well, they're a lot like
I want to.
What went through our Caribbean?
I want to mention another pirate actor that was wonderful. Wallace Berry was, first of all, he's one of my favorite character actors of all time
uh-huh.
in anything he does, whether
mm-hmm.
it's villainy or lovable or comedy. I mean, he's equally wonderful at tragedy as he is comedy. Wonderful actor. But Robert Newton played in Treasure Island in 1950s. And if you ever get a chance, just look
yeah,
it up on Google.
Yeah.
You'll remember him instantly. He was a British
yeah.
actor, and he played Long John Silver. And he was absolutely charming as Long John Silver also. A great performance. And I'm with you. These lovable pirates are – the lovable pirate genre is wonderful. It's a great genre, especially because they're portrayed both as murderers, but they have a soft spot for a child. And that's
right.
an amazing contrast of like – so this guy is jolly. He's funny. He's happy. He's lovable. He's a psychopath. He loves children. It's like, oh, what an interesting
you know,
mix of all that stuff. It's not unlike myself, by the way. I think that most people probably think I'm the same way. She's lovable. She's funny. She's psychotic. She's a murderer. She loves children. We'll keep her.
Okay. Well, you know, have you noticed how that the piracy has translated into, let's talk Han Solo, the
yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you uh-huh. noticed? I mean, it's like that boy was, what's his name? Star-Lord is, he had his Long John Silver with the blue, I'm forgetting his name and I loved it. I love that movie. but a bunch of marauders and pirates and space, and it is a theme that keeps circulating in the human story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. It's one of the great myths that, you know, what do they say, that there are 10 basic myths in civilization, and, you know, boy
yeah.
meets girl, that all of these different, the myths are the iconic, the archetype myths, and that is one of them. The criminal, the misfit criminal who yet somehow is still
black
lovable.
Sheep. Yeah.
It's a great,
sheep.
Great, great idea. That's a great myth that somebody made up, you know, back, you know, 10,000 years ago.
Sure.
I want to just, I'm looking at the time. Folks at home, if you feel like calling in and joining on this conversation, it's 323-784-9639. You're listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on a Blog Talk Radio. And I'm sitting here with two of my favorite people in the entire world, Gwendolyn Holdenberry and Wayne Johnson. And we're brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. We've got like 18 minutes left tonight. So I'm going to just throw it to you two. What would you both like to talk about tonight? Is there anything in particular you'd like to come up with on this first day of November?
The first day of November. Well,
tomorrow is election day. Granted, it's, you know, local judges and stuff like that. But I'll just say quickly, folks at home, if you don't think that Election Day tomorrow is important because it's not a president, it's not this and it's not that, you are effing wrong. Every Election Day is deadly serious. And we live in a time right now when there is no mandate. Nothing is, you know, clear. Joe Biden has not got a mandate. The Senate, the Congress, everything is wobbling dangerously on a spider's web. Everything is on a tightrope. There is nothing certain. So if you feel strongly about voting rights, if you feel strongly about a woman having dominion over her own damn uterus, if you care about a working class and a middle class that is happy and comfortable and optimistic, if you are tired of trillionaires getting tax rollbacks from psychotic orange creatures, if you care about the damn environment, if you are straight and have children and grandchildren and you think that you can just skip a voting day, you are effing wrong. Everything matters now. Everything matters. So it's very important that you get off your lazy, jiggly, cellulite-filled ass and go to a voting booth tomorrow and vote. And even if it's for your local state senator or your dog catcher or your district judge, you think about that. You go there and think about that and vote, because those people at the very bottom of the political pyramid are the ones that support and keep the whole country going in the right direction. The president is almost helpless if he isn't surrounded by the right support from below. And that's why Donald Trump appointed those endless numbers of fascist, neo-Nazi judges,
racist,
not just in the Supreme Court, racist, 1%ers. He appointed, forget the Kavanaugh and the other ones, forget them. He appointed judges all over the place because he knew that he could infect the country from below. And that's what, and then those people, all those local people, it's a bunch of little people in Texas that are coming up with these amendments and these things about a woman can't have an abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. No sooner does she discover that she's pregnant than she's not allowed to get an abortion. This stuff is insidious, and you must vote. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the first Tuesday in November is Election Day all across the country. Please. You've seen the posters on people's front yards, on the little wire cardboard things. You've seen them all. Go and vote carefully as you did for the presidential election. It is absolutely your responsibility. There, I've said my piece. Now you two should say what you think.
Allow me to interject here, just add one more thing to this. This is a perfect example of what you're talking about. Rittenhouse, that he was 17 years old, wasn't allowed to have a fully automatic rifle that he had, took it across state lines, and as the Black Lives Matter were protesting, he decided he was going to take it upon himself to shoot 3, killing 2, wounding 1.
Yeah.
The judge says those that are prosecuting cannot refer to those people as victims. These victims that Rittenhouse just decided to kill in the street because he was motivated by this right-wing shit, he says that's derogatory and stuff and misleading and will taint the case. They were victims. They were murdered by this bastard. But the prosecuting attorney cannot refer to them as that.
This is the kind of I don't know what the word should be, but
I don't know.
Folks
I'm at home.
If you must go and vote because we have to absolutely destroy and wipe out this insidious trail that we are on right now. We are drifting in this country into a weird place where people who are gunned down are not victims. That's weird. That is psychotic thinking. It's like out of the book 1984, Newspeak.
Exactly.
The black is white is black, up is down, truth is false is truth. It's like it's this strange thing that Orwell predicted, where the world becomes topsy-turvy in a monster movie way, in a nightmare way. It's shocking. Shocking. And we've got to make sure that we vote and vote carefully every time. So please, please, please do that. Do that tomorrow, okay? I'm glad you brought that up, Wayne. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a dark thing to, bring into our post-Halloween show. But that's the reality of life, is that we have, really dark issues all around us, all the time. Today on the Today Show, they mentioned that the shooting, the church shooting in South Carolina, the Dylann Roof case, the families of victims and the victims were awarded, was it $88 million to be divided between them? And it was collected not from stupid, pile of turd Dylann Roof, some three-toothed hillbilly who, hasn't got a penny. But it was collected from the gun manufacturers who allowed an automatic weapon like that to fall into the hands of Dylann Roof. And so, they really drilled it to that company. Sadly, excuse me, $88 million is what they make, in an hour at Walmart.
Right.
that gun company is selling $88 million worth of live ammo every hour, at Walmart's and whatever. So it's a Pyrrhic victory, so to speak. But it's something. It's something, and it sends a message. I mean, the fact that the NRA is having as much trouble as the Berlin Wall. Who would have thought people our age, yours and my age, Wayne and Gwendolyn, that we would ever see the Berlin Wall disappear, that we would see the USSR disappear. Not that it's been replaced by anything wonderful.
I was
wonderful
at the Berlin Wall when it was falling accident. I was there, I learned what an ugly
You were
American.
In Germany when the Berlin Wall came down?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Gwen.
I had hotel reservations at the Hotel Berlin for 2 months ahead of time. And I knew at the time I made the reservations, they said there's a film festival, so it's a good thing you're making your reservations. Nobody saw it coming. And it was, I got to tell you, I learned some real lessons with that one. I got to go through Checkpoint Charlie, too.
Wow.
That is a memoir maker. I mean, that the fact that you have in the whole wide world, you happen to be in Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down.
With Bob
Keckelwood. Oh my God.
Bob Keckelwood. Uh-huh. And
did you get a piece of it?
No.
You should have brought home a brick or something.
No, I got to tell you, that was what I saw. Ugly Americans. Guy from Texas paying kids to go pick up pieces of wall, and it was nasty. That was nothing to make a monument of that belonged in rubble.
Right.
Well, of course.
It belonged in rubble. I saw that right away. If you could see the pictures of faces of people that I saw, when they were walking through, there's Meinhof Zoo, it's the train station there.
Yes, right.
And it's got all these beautiful little cafes and everything, and I was sitting at a cafe. I watched this one woman come in, and I could tell by her shoes where she was coming from. She was so careful to pick up a magazine off the rack and look through it, and then put
wow.
it back so carefully. I mean, I learned lessons about people in observation.
Oh, yeah.
At that time, I was also in D.C. when Nixon left the White House by accident.
Wow.
She's like, what the hell is the name that Tom Hanks played?
Walter Mitty.
I can't think of his name, the character's name.
I just happened to be some places in life when
I was
going to
say, you know,
happened.
How the Tom Hanks, right? He was always someplace in history, you know, that got him.
Carmen Miranda. Yeah.
I had no idea about that, Gwendolyn. That is just such an amazing thing. Of course, many of the listeners and people who followed my life over the years know that I am the only surviving person now who was in the San Francisco earthquake, the Titanic, the Andrea Doria, the Hindenburg,
yes,
and
no,
at
mommy.
The, what, I'm sorry?
I said, yes, I know, mommy.
Yes, it's, and I have the worst case of recorded survivor guilt that has ever been, you know, talked about or written in the AMA journals. Sybil Brunchen, they don't use my name. They say it's SB, they use my initials, is a woman. We can't reveal her identity. She is the biggest victim of survivor guilt that has ever been documented and has been examined by psychiatrists. And but I also suffer from Stockholm Syndrome, which is another story for another time. Anyway, I have often identified with people who victimize me, and then I even help them victimize me, but that's exactly it, Stockholm Syndrome. We have a few minutes left, and we have the beginning of November, and we have an election day, of course, to deal with. Do we have any topics that we might want to discuss next week on Monday night? But I want to ask a question. Did you have a show last night, your own show, your Sunday show? Did you do
oh,
it
no,
last night?
No,
you couldn't have.
It's a big night in the Barry household on Fallon.
Yeah, Halloween is like, and you were getting ready, Wayne. You were getting ready with your grandkids.
Yes,
so,
yes,
but are you doing a show this coming Sunday? I want to tell the people. If you don't know, Gwendolyn and Wayne do a show on Sunday nights.
Actually,
that's right.
Sunday
yeah.
we're off because our other commentator is otherwise engaged on that Sunday.
Right, Professor Ron Feynman.
We will be back on the 14th.
On the 14th,
Professor
okay.
Professor Ron Feynman is just truly a treasure.
Okay. And then next Monday, we will be back here at 8 o'clock. Do we have a subject that we want to talk about? What would it be? I guess we could talk about Veterans Day. Wayne, did you serve?
Yeah. Yes. I've got some stories about the Navy. I got my combat training in Quantico. I was Navy with the fleet. I was part of the Bicentennial Armada in New York. Princess Grace Kelly, Caroline, and Prince Rainier came aboard a ship. I was part of the saluting battery. And I went through the Panama Canal. I was in Chile during the Pinochet military junta takeover. But the real atrocities, there's plenty of atrocities to go around in Chile. But the real, true Nazi roundup atrocities was Argentina.
Yeah.
And I was in Buenos Aires. I was like 22 years old and stuff, and you could feel the tension in the population there.
What year was that, by the way?
That would have been in, it would have been in 76, because as soon as we got done with coming up
Evita there, Eva Perón was dead by then, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, she had died by then,
It was the military junta against the Peronists, and that eradication. I was in Brazil. A couple laws went down there. There was one that, Brazil being very Catholic, does
right.
not allow abortions. So it's like, the Art for Dodger, you know, where the kids are just street urchins just trying to survive for themselves. They form their own family units. You know, being pickpocketing or rolling somebody, right? And the military, the federales of Brazil, they became such a nuisance at Rio de Janeiro, and the kids were kind of up in the hillside. They'd come down and get, you know, roll the tourists and go back up. That one morning, the federales with their, you know, M16s assault rifles surrounded the squalor camps. And then as soon as the sun came up, they started eradicating them like rats. Because
Jesus.
They were that much. We can't have abortion, right? Because that's killing people, right? But when they become a problem, then we have no problem to go in and just mass exterminate them.
Yeah.
That was happened when I was there.
Okay. So they were executing everyone, the families, the children, everybody.
Well, it's just the children. You know, it's the squalor camps that the children were putting up. So they might have been,
wow.
you know, from, you know, 6, 7, 8 children type stuff to teenagers and maybe early 20s. There was that, you know, and they were just, I mean, they're taking wooden pallets and cardboard and just making makeshift shelters for themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just
dreadful. It's shocking.
Yeah, it sounds very Republican, if you ask me.
Well, that's what, look, and that's what, Glenn, I think I've spoken about this on our show, when Trump and all the other neo-Nazis that were in power there were separating the children at the border when people came up to ask for legal asylum entry into this country. They separated the children from the parents. And some of these kids still have not been reunited with their parents.
Oh,
that
no. There are people that are, there are parents and children that may never see each other again from that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Listen, we're all out of time, and I'm sorry about that. We will talk about your adventures. I must tell you that Gwendolyn and I thought that we were so important with the Berlin Wall and the Titanic and everything. You clearly have nothing to feel ashamed about. You have had a very exciting life. And Wayne, we will discuss it, all your adventures. I can't believe it. Princess Grace, my goodness, from Argentina to Princess Grace. I mean, all of it. We're going to talk about you as our own family member who's been in the service and your amazing adventures next week. That's fabulous. I'm so excited about that.
You.
See, this show has got so many surprises. We started out talking about candy, and look what we're gone in under an hour. I mean, who has a show like that? Maybe Johnny Carson used to, and Steve Allen and Jack Parr, but no one else. Speaking of which, very quickly, I want to tell everyone, you again been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk on the Hear Every Monster Studio here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, daylight time, soon to be standard time, 7 Central, or your local time zone. Please consult your own time zone, which is the watch that you're wearing on your wrist. And you can tune in by looking for our link on Facebook. That, by the way, is where you find us. You'll find both Gwendolyn and myself, and Wayne, too, on Facebook. You can also find me at SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And you can join us on the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page on Facebook, a page of happiness and joy and light and love. So please, it's free. Please join us there. I've got a YouTube channel and Twitter and Instagram and all sorts of stuff. Yes, Gwendolyn, what were you going to say?
I do have a little plug for me own self this week. Catch the playback from Asa and I on Samhain and the plant allies and archetypes of Scorpio season. On the Inner Alchemy, we had a practical magic lineup all day long on Saturday, and we did one of the segments. So check us out. You can find it on my page or over at Inner Alchemy on Facebook.
fabulous. There you go. So that's another. See, we have a bag of treats here. You thought it was all like, you know, Snickers bars and M&Ms. And here we've got even more treats for you the day after Halloween. I mean, who provides this service? And by the way, how much did you pay to listen tonight? Nothing. All right, there you go. Come Now, Don't Sulk, daughtersofisis.com. Thank you so much, Wayne and Gwendolyn. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Good night. The pleasure is mine. Thank you. Till next week.